A respected friend told me very recently that the number of Christian denominations is very off-putting to her and causes her to reject the idea of church as an authentic expression of Christianity. I agreed with her, stating that I find religion quite abhorrent. My reasoning is that religion is man's attempt to make God in our own image. I wonder when we will actually stop, listen to God, learn to trust Him and do what He asks of us. The gospel is a simple message, come as you are, but you would not want to stay as you are, for there is glory ahead for those who trust in Christ. The topic of this message is the Bible and its right interpretation. Of the 20 or so points that shed light on how to rightly interpret the Bible, I will focus on just one. Here it is. A right interpretation of the Bible always finds hope in the soon coming of Christ. Before we continue, let us pray. Father God, your word is described as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. As we open your word and unpack this message, we submit to the Holy Spirit that inspired holy men of old and that even today illuminates the path of truth for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. For this we thank you, in Jesus' name. It is obvious that the many Christian denominations exist on the basis of their expression or interpretation of the Bible, the written word of God. And of course, each denomination stoically holds to their rendering as the most correct. I am not as unsettled by this as is the friend just mentioned. Why? Because the Bible is written for the honest in heart who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Satan is the author of confusion, and self-righteousness is clearly a stench in the nostrils of God. Yet Christ's righteousness is the first object the Bible counsels us to seek, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. For that reason, we chose as an act of the will either to submit or to abandon the appointed agency that God has revealed, that God reveals His desire, His intense longing for us. That agency is the letter of His loving, the written word, the Bible. There is no middle ground. Having a Bible in the drawer, on the shelf, or somewhere in the house is not going to be an effective way to hedge your bets on being received as a friend of Jesus Christ. I have confidence in the Bible and its author because the great theme of salvation through Christ is undergirded by the equally demanding but much less apparent need for salvation. If the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. In other words, sin, its inception and its promulgation, how sin started and how sin spreads, is the principal reason we need a remedy, a saviour. And because God is always ahead of the game and has provided a Saviour, we can rest assured if we accept the terms that God offers. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Psalm 62, verse 5. The Bible is a cumulative testament of human interaction with the Creator-Redeemer. The prophets of old looked to the law, the Torah, and gave witness to it, authenticating it under inspiration of the Spirit of God. Jesus looked to the law and the prophets and recognized them himself in the foretold Messiah as the fulfillment of their words. The apostles looked to the life and the words of Jesus and testified to all that they saw and heard with indisputable proclamation under Holy Spirit power. And properly discipled believers from then to this day give witness to the collection of scripture we call the Holy Bible. They do so by intentionally living their lives in keeping with the character of its principal author, the Holy Spirit. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And from it without me, said Christ, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. The Holy Bible has within its pages the substance of the hope that gives individuals a reason to pursue life with confidence. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. And hope makes not ashamed. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. If we are faithful in applying ourselves to the life that God has exchanged with us by the giving of his only begotten Son, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. As we know from recent events, it doesn't take much for a virus to spread and to have devastating effects on a planet, a nation, a community. Yet even Christians are inclined to take the sin issue lightly, living oblivious of the implications of our presence and influence around and among others. We're inclined to live detached lives. We consume the basics of life as it were our right, yet we habitually violate the rules of our existence through participation or indulgence in activities and substances that break down the vitality of life, just as surely as the next wave erases footprints in the sand. The well-known hymn written in 1834 by Edward Mote and based on the declaration of Christ as the rock in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 expresses the foundation of the hope that I am referring to. The first and last verse and refrain follow. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clad in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What is the basis of your hope? Every believer will at some time be challenged to evaluate his or her faith. If his hope is centered on this life only, it would be a pointless, perhaps even miserable existence, such as Apostle Paul expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Yet by the Holy Spirit we are able to attain to that righteousness that comes by the faith of Christ. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, Galatians chapter 5 verse 5, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, the joy of being in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 19. Even in the trying circumstance of prison cell isolation, the apostle could bear testimony to the assurance he had in the word of God as an instrument of surgical quality, if rightly employed, for the sin-sick soul, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing soul and spirit, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Reflecting the passion of the psalmist, Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes," Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Adding, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed," Philippians chapter 1 verse 20. "I now stand for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers," Acts chapter 26 verse 6, "and of his witness among the saints, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel which is come to you by the grace of God," Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Paul reveals his grasp of the promises of God with the reference to hope having been established before the world began, and upon which hope his ministry to the Gentiles was established. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, that blessed hope that comes with the glorious appearing of our great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. For it is nothing less than the anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. 7 centuries before the apostles, Jeremiah, the prophet of the Lord, in his lament over Jerusalem and the captives exiled in Babylon, demonstrated a firm grasp on the faith that unlocks heaven's storehouse, where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence. He wrote, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24. This hope, therefore, is not just a New Testament thing, only corroborated on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even though the believer is, in a sense, challenged by an apparent intangibility in that which he hopes for, the Bible gives examples, starting with Adam's firstborn, Abel, and continuing with men and women who lived by every word of that comes from the mouth of God, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Of the faith response that is developed by hearing, believing, and heeding the promises of God. This faith is in fact substantiated by the Word of God and by God Himself. Things don't always go well, even for sincere believers who sanctify themselves to God and His purposes. Job, in his calamity and grief, was challenged by words of rationalism that implied self-interest in his relationship with God. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Job chapter 4, verse 6. And recognizing the cup of blessing to be at least half full, the psalmist poured out a prayer of faith. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43, verse 5. The hope that the apostles freely included in their epistles to new believers had its substance in the indisputable fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whom God raised up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, and to purify himself even as he is pure, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, by storing the word of God in your heart, thus sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts, and being ready always to give an answer to every person that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The substance of hope for the apostles was that if Christ be raised, then he will come again and raise those who are called by his name. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 14, verse 3. But if he be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 and 17. From the book Steps to Christ, page 87, I read, God speaks to us through his word. Here is open before us the history of patriarchs and prophets and other holy men of old. They were men subject to like passions as we are. James 5 verse 17. We see how they struggled through discouragements like our own, how they fell under temptation as we have done, and yet took heart again and conquered through the grace of God. And, beholding, we are encouraged in our striving after righteousness. As we read of the precious experiences granted them, of the light and love and blessing it was theirs to enjoy, and of the work they wrought through the grace given them, the Spirit that inspired them kindles a flame of holy emulation in our hearts and a desire to be like them in character, like them to walk with God. If I could take time, I would go through a substantial portion of the fifth chapter of John's Gospel. This is where Jesus, in answer to the Jews becoming riled up for referring to God as his Father, makes strong statements of his divinity and of his identification with humanity. The Father has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man, John chapter 5 verse 27. But before that, Jesus points out that the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live, John chapter 5 verse 25. In the weeks that followed, Jesus' friend Lazarus would hear that voice, that we too shall hear if we are indeed his friends. This is why we cannot afford to be friends with the world and expect Jesus to call us his friends. If this blessed hope is a daily reality for us, then we have the assurance of all the promises of God. And if God promises, then he provides all that is necessary for us to fulfill the conditions that go with enjoying the promise. Listen to Paul speak to Titus. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Granted, there are times in our study of the Bible that doubts arise, and God never removes the possibility of doubt. This is why our faith must rest upon evidence. His existence, his character, the truthfulness of his word are all established by testimony that appeals to our reason, and this testimony is abundant, as we have already established. Furthermore, in the natural world, we are constantly surrounded with mysteries that we cannot fathom. Should we then be surprised to find that in the spiritual world also there are mysteries that we cannot fathom? Disguise it as we may, the real cause of doubt and skepticism in most cases is the love of sin. For this reason, prayer is of utmost importance. Never should the Bible be studied without prayer. Before opening its pages, ask for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit and it will be given. Prayer is the key in the hand of faith that unlocks heaven's storehouse, where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence. There are multitudes today that are seeking the truth revealed in the Bible, and in order to arrive at the truth, we must have a sincere desire to know the truth and a willingness of heart to obey it. The internet is a good source, but it is not the source. It doesn't take a lot of reasoning to determine that probably at least half of the material presented via the World Wide Web, that name alone should be a clue, is inspired by the adversary, the devil, for it is his determined purpose as a thief, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10. Don't give the devil even a toehold, because he will soon get a foothold and set up a stronghold that will ruin your life in the presence and jeopardize your assurance of eternal life. The things that you watch may appear to be light from God. Just consider that you may be being dazzled just before being plunged into darkness. God invites us to prove for ourselves the reality of his word, the truth of his promises. He bids us taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34, verse 8. Instead of depending upon the word of another, we are to taste for ourselves. In summary, I will use the words spoken by Paul in the presence of King Agrippa II. In this testimony, relating his ministry to the Gentiles, Paul recalls the words of Christ, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. What a marvelous charge by the Saviour to an individual who had clearly despised the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering before recognizing that the goodness of God is intended to lead the Apostle Paul and me and you to repentance. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. By the grace of God, Paul, as did all the apostles, rose above their carnal nature under the transforming power of the indwelling Word of God. The returning of Christ is much sooner than we realize, and the trials and tribulations yet to be faced are unimaginable. Our only hope is the blessed hope, the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who longs to call you friend. When Christ comes with clouds of angels, he will not ask what denomination you belong to or support. He wants only to know, are you his friend? Rest assured, he will not even need to ask that question, for the matter will already have been settled for eternity before Christ returns. I invite you to pray with me right now. Father in heaven, holy is your name. May you come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us, Father, for treating your word with indifference, for the insubordination of bringing our corruption into your word. Lord God, we need hope. We need a friend. We need a Saviour. We thank you for the times of refreshing that you are allowing before your soon return. Relying upon your mercy, we place our will on the side of your will. We thank you for hearing our prayer, for we ask in the blessed and most precious name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.